Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what I should be saying. Good afternoon, good evening, whatever, man. Welcome to the Sports City Food Fight. We about to get into this, man. Y'all got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. And I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you shooting? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of me, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Get laid to...
Okay. Rest in peace, but you know I can go on that song for days. I can do it for days. The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. That could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And we got a main event tonight. And I don't know if it's too, you know, it's worth it. I ain't going to spill too much of this dish out. We're talking in the green room already. We're about to make this thing go down. I got my co-host with me, Mr. Silver. Nacho, how are you feeling this evening?
You know, I'm feeling great. Just getting off work. Showing up. Arizona's still hot, even though it's cloudy and rainy most of the day. It's still hot and humid. I hate it, but I'm feeling okay and feeling good.
So you can keep all of that heat with you out there in the West Coast. Right now it's been hovering around the 60s, 70s here on the East Coast, but I know summer is coming, so I got to enjoy this for the last little couple of days around these parts before this humidity starts to take flight, and I'm going to be aggravated. I am going to be aggravated. So give me the fall, September, hurry up and get here. You know, football gets here, basketball is around. Look, I'm talking about this in June. I got a couple of months before.
You know,
September.
Ty, I wish humans were like a certain animal, and that animal, even though I despise them in a uniform, is a bear. Because they get to hibernate for a couple months in the weather that they don't like, which is winter. I wish we get to hibernate in the summer. You know, then that'd be cool. I wish we would be able to hibernate. All the earth just be quiet for a couple months because it's too dang hot, you know, and just relax and, you know, get some sleep. But we can't do that. We got to be here. The sports world never ends. Sports are always going. So, but, you know, I wish we could, but we can't.
Sports City. Now, this is the first Sports City. Now, this is the first time I've ever heard a Packer fan announce beardom. Never in my life. It's the first time in my life, and I'm a diehard Lion fan, people. I would never speak on the behalf of a bear or a pack or a Viking. You won't do that. You won't really do that. I just can't. Sports City, I'm going to let you in a little bit on my personal life. Just a little bit of my personal life. Sports City, I put a dish together, right, just for Nacho today, for him to start promoting Calvin Johnson. That's all I need for today. That's all I need. Round of applause for TP Time for people. I got him to jump out of his contact. He was supporting Megatron. No.
There's no nothing. I'm gonna let it know. You actually interrupted me before I was gonna say that. I was gonna say since I was going on the Bears, I might as well let it also be known that I also think the best wide receiver in the league is a Lion. So I was gonna let that know. I was gonna let it out. But if you heard me before, You know that I believe the two, you know, the three best positions in our league, the quarterback, the wide receiver, and the running back, all play in the NFC North, and those are the best in the NFL, and those are hands down. If you don't know who the running back is, he's number 2-8. But that's what I feel. I may despise and hate both those teams, but the players, you can't deny talent, and you can't deny being best at your position. So I know we in boxing today, but, you know, we started that. I got to let it out. I got to let it be known that I may hate the team, but I recognize real and I know when talent's on the field.
Well, sports team, like I said, I had Nacho praising number 81, people. It's just so good. You know, I felt like Rocky at the top of the steps, both of my hands up. I did it, Adrian. Like, look. Call the number 978-89-959. So we got some interesting stuff to get into. The main event tonight, Cotto and Gil. But the first thing I want to touch on and kind of glitch on is we got the next 2 weeks until we actually get ready for this big fight going between Porter and Broner. Both of these guys are Ohio-born and bred, still live out there, one from Cincinnati, one from Cleveland. Both of these guys throw bombs. I mean, this is going to be one heck of a fight. And this is actually leading into this fight that we're going to be viewing tonight for everybody that actually checks us out here on the food fight. But, Nacho, I'll let you start us off with the potential behind this fight at the catchweight situation with Broner and Porter.
You know, the catchweight is the thing that I brought up to you, and I feel like that's the only, I guess you could say, advantage. I don't want to even say advantage. That's the only thing Broner's got going his way. Because if this was at the World Welterweight 147 fight, oh my goodness, Sean Porter would be laying out Adrian Broner within a minute. I think those few pounds, they do make a huge difference for Broner. They do just add a little bit for him, but I think this is Sean Porter's fight all the way. The skill is there. The power's there. The speed's there. He's everything I like in a fighter. He's going to knock you out as well as he could outbox you if that needs to be the case, in my opinion. So I think Sean Porter wins this bout, but as the potential of this fight to see, I think it ends in around 5 or 6. I think Porter lays him out. We all know Broner's tendency to try to make it a fight and try to bully him, put fighters try to get in there and try to, you know, manhandle guys. But we saw what happened when he faced Maidana and he got caught. The difference with this being Porter's going to be way more accurate, and those punches are probably going to be harder. So I think this is Porter's fight. All in all, this was a great fight for Porter to pick, just because I think taking Kell Brook this early after losing to him, being Sean Porter, I think this is a great fight for him to get warmed up and then go after Kell Brook again. I think him and Kell Brook make a great fight. I know I'm jumping ahead, but I think as it pertains to this fight, Porter is just going to do everything he wants to Broner and let Broner kind of try and do what he wants as it pertains to, you know, bum rushing him, try to bully him, so to speak. But I don't think it's going to happen. Porter's just too nice for me. He's just too – his footwork's real nice. I like the way he gets off. But it's just – to me, I got to go with Sean Porter. Adrian Broner, he's a good fighter. He's you know, up until the Maidana fight, I thought he was the next thing. Maidana showed some weaknesses. The mouth runs a little too much for me, but, you know, hey, he's pretty good. He's only got one loss. So I'm definitely excited to see this fight. If it goes 12, that's another advantage for Broner. I think if Broner can survive, he's going to be throwing more punches. And I think he would be throwing more punches and maybe to the judges be more active in the fight than Sean Porter would be. So if it goes later into the round, if it goes 12, be careful. Adrian Broner might steal a decision, but I think this ends early in the sixth round, Sean Porter knockout or a stoppage, depending if he cuts him or anything like that. But it's definitely going to be a fun fight to watch, and Adrian Broner and Sean Porter are not gonna disappoint, especially since they'll be coming out on PBC with that great stage and very, very WWE-like entrances. It's going to be very fun to watch and very entertaining, and you won't have to pay anything for it. So it's going to be fun. I'm definitely excited.
Okay, now here's an interesting thing about this fight. Both of these guys are power punchers. You ain't going to see people punching for points, that's for sure. People that got frustrated or mad with watching Floyd do his thing and outscoring Manny Pacquiao were really confused on what was going on because they wanted to see somebody get knocked out, and that didn't happen. This fight will not upset people because you're going to see a.k.a. a song by Outkast called Bombs Over Baghdad. Both of these guys fight in the pocket. You're not going to see anybody dancing around the ring or basically getting their space to get shots off. Both of these guys don't have a big amount of reach, so they're going to have to be in close quarters to make this fight happen. Now, interesting enough, both of these guys are coming off of interesting losses in the past or recent history, if you want to look at it like that. One for Broner losing to Maidana and being knocked down several times, and the situation with Porter not being able to deal with Brooke, and Brooke and his reach taking care of business in that fight. And I don't even want to make that a situation where it looks like the reach was intensive to take care of business up against Sean Porter, if you will. I just think, to be honest, Brooke was outclassing him in that fight and actually took care of business. Now, both of these guys trying to make their way back on comeback road or comeback lane, however you make it seem. But both of these guys are fighting for the state of Ohio. So there's more incentives behind this than the public eye can look at. Now, here's the intention.
Oh, the Twitter beef is real.
I didn't get into social media yet. Now, the fact of the matter is, right, you got a situation where Broner actually is looking for a knockout blow, and not to just say against Porter, but in all of his fights, he's looking for a good, dangerous power shot to get people woozy and then to actually finish the fight. Where Porter fights and throws blows with bad intention, wherever he's hitting you, he is trying to take you out, either take the wind out of you or make you worry about something so he can take care of the fight elsewhere. So both of these guys fight to finish. The edge I do give, though, this is interesting for me, people. I'm not going to lie. I am a Broner fan. I think Porter can hurt Corey. I think Porter can end up doing something dangerous to Adrian Broner. And the fact is, Adrian Broner won't. There was an interesting thing that Floyd Mayweather said about Manny Pacquiao. And he said, Manny won't fight to go into survival mode, which he didn't need to go into survival mode, but it's the truth. Manny will stay there until you actually finish the deal. This is the same situation for both Porter and Broner. These guys aren't known for fleet of feet or getting away from a barrage of punches, or if these guys are busy, something bad can happen. Because let's be honest, when Broner was getting knocked down by Maidana, he was still in front of him, getting knocked down. And
Porter, he was.
When Porter was in that fight up against Cal Brook was actually scoring and landing some dangerous shots. He wasn't knocking them out, but these are situations that Porter had to come up with a different game plan to come forward with, and it wasn't working. So somebody's head is going to get hurt in this one, so it's going to be interesting to see who ends up swelling first or ends up bleeding first, because you know once a cut gets involved in a fight, it's like blood in the water. The shark tastes it, he's coming after it. So whoever gets cut or swells up first is going to have the advantage on the other side of the gloves, if you will. But I think actually Porter puts Broner in a very interesting situation because he punches with those intentions to knock dudes out. And let's be honest, I'm going to be real, and I may be sitting up here hating Sports City or looking at this differently, but Maidana, and he won the fight. I'm not going to take that away from him. Maidana's throwing a looping haymaker. I really don't even look at that as boxing. I think he's lucky to land something, and he knocked Broner down twice. And this is going to be a situation where you got two boxers going at it, and he has a guy that's throwing more than just a right hand and basically club you over the top. So if Broner has a shot, hopefully his defense plays a key in this, knowing that he takes a couple of pages out of Floyd's book and tries to do that Philly shell and sway and dodge a lot of punches. I think if Porter could get to that body, it could be dangerous. Now, if Broner actually lands a dangerous shot and hits Porter on the chin, I have not really seen Porter in too much danger in his career in boxing, too. So this actually makes it a very intriguing fight. But this is the Battle of Ohio. Whoever gets the win, it brings the bragging rights back home. I'm not going to say I'm going to sit up here and be mad if Adrian wins. I would love to see Adrian come up with the upset. I think this will be an upset, to be honest. But I think Porter, he's hungry, you know, and with him losing one of his latest fights, I feel like he's been let down. A lot of the last couple of fights that Broner has been into, it's been more or less a situation where Broner is surviving rounds and not been in there with a puncher or a guy that could actually give him a ton of danger in the middle of the ring. And I think Porter actually presents that. I want to see him deal with a boxer that can punch, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. I know what you mean exactly. See, the thing is with Broner, And that's what I was saying when I say if he cuts him early, because it doesn't need to be a solid shot to cut him. And the way and the force and the power that's going to be behind Sean Porter's punches, a simple graze of his glove, you know, the corner end of that glove just grazing his eye, that could be enough to break the skin. As much force and power, I mean, it's just sometimes that's just it. But I really do think that Porter's going to cut him or definitely he's going to hit him something vicious in that head to close the eye or something like that, maybe similar to what Algieri had to deal with in the Provodnikov fight to where he closes an eye up early. That's why I see it ending early, 6-7, maybe 8. But it's going to be one of those fights that you know, like you said, Porter's throwing so much behind it. I just don't know if Broner's going to be able to, you know, defensively stay away from it just like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And interesting enough, we have people coming inside the boxing world that are actually speaking on behalf of Adrian Broner. You have a trainer in Robert Garcia who's actually picking Adrian Broner to be successful up against Adrian Broner. But it's interesting that Styles makes fights and both of these guys stay in the pocket. It really is up to who actually has the intention to take whose head off, because that's literally how both of these guys fight. Now, looking at the situation, the way that Porter actually brought it to Pauly and took care of Pauly, I mean, literally had Pauly wanting to fall down. It wasn't even like knockout. Well, it wasn't knockout, but it wasn't like Pauly was actually trying to go down or I'm saying it the wrong way. More or less, like, Pauly didn't go out by, like, his short will. Pauly was trying to get to the floor early, where Pauly actually fought Broner, and that went the distance. You know what I'm saying? So they both fought the same fighter, and knowing how the style of fight comes for both of these guys is very intriguing, and it's bad that I have to use the measuring stick of Pauly Malignaggi, but this is actually the measuring stick between the two of them and how Porter got rid of him early, and Adrian is sitting up there and going a full 12 with him. So this is a very
interesting and that's why I said you have to watch out for if it goes 12, Adrian's making a decision out of there, because he's been known to do that. He just carries guys through 12, throwing more punches, and he's carried that to that victory, in my opinion. So I think that if it goes longer than, you know, 10, be careful, because – Adrian might be able to, if he's lasted that long, he might be able to defensively shutting down Porter. So we could be seeing a total different fight. That's why I just think, but I just think Sean Porter's too good for that, and he's going to get through early and often. So, but again, like you said, you got to look for that. Adrian's taking a lot of people to the distance now. He is that guy who wants to knock you out, but he's taking people the distance, but he's still winning. So, it's just one of those things where we're going to have to wait to see, and that's why I'm so excited, because this fight truly can go any way. And I think the catchweight is one thing that really throws a wrinkle into everything, because like I said, at 147, I don't really know if I give Adrian any shot against Porter.
Okay, so let's look at this one perspective from another, then we'll move from these two objectively. Now, one, let's say Sean Porter wins the fight. Who is next in line for him if he wins this fight up against Adrian Broner?
I think he wants Kell Brook. I think he needs Kell Brook, and I think that needs to be the next fight. I don't know what Kell Brook's schedule. I don't know if they've made something yet for him. I have not seen his next fight or when he will be fighting after that. But I know Sean Porter needs it, and to get over that hump, he needs to beat Kell Brook. Because the moment he beats Kell Brook, it takes Kell Brook out of the Floyd situation and jumps Porter right back into it. Unless the people want to see a three, I think that puts Sean Porter in the Floyd situation for next May, if they can get this fight done within, you know, September or October or November. So it's one of those things. I really want Porter to, you know, handle this fight so he can go after Kell Brook and get that situated, because I really do think before the loss to Kell Brook, he was in line for a Floyd shot. And, you know, we talk about Floyd and when he's retiring, and we all, you know, seem to know when he's retiring. But This guy may still end up fighting for years just because he can, if he's that great, and especially if he takes on one of these young guys and beats them. You know, I'm getting far ahead of myself, but I think Sean Porter right now, he needs Kell Brook, and he needs to beat him. That's the fight I want to see again, and that's what I need to see, because if he takes care of Broner the way I anticipate him taking care of Broner, then Kell Brook's next on the list. Revenge or redemption, that loss, get it out of people's minds, so to speak, and move on, and then fight the next best person in that league. Unless, again, like I said, it's a great fight, and then we want to see a three. But that them two, like I said, that might end up being a trilogy and being some great fights, but I definitely want to see that. So after this fight, I should definitely see Sean Porter and Kell Brook.
Okay, and in my assessment, if Porter wins, how about him Maidana? Porter Maidana fight. How about that? They both throw those knockout punches. People are trying to say boxing is dead. We are here to defend the right that boxing isn't dead. These are the type of fights that are setting up, like the Hearns Hagler situations or the Roberto Duran, throw him in the mix of this situation. Because I honestly look at this like this. I'm going to be honest, people. I think Floyd is setting to retire. I really do think he's setting. After this fight, I think Floyd is done. I really think Floyd does not want to threaten to put a loss on his record. To get this far, to September and win that fight, to fight in May and fight a bull like Sean Porter, I don't think that'll be for him to get his head completely knocked off. Now, mind you, Floyd has fought a lot of guys that can outpower him, and Floyd has been able to deal with what he needs to deal with, but I don't think Floyd needs to put himself in that type of danger, especially coming around May, and he'll be, 39 is coming May. So there's nothing left for him to prove, let alone he has to pick who he's going to fight this upcoming September, where they said he's narrowed the list down to Kell Brook and Amir Khan. So I think that's out of the question, but I think the Maidana situation versus Porter style of fight, knowing the support that's behind Maidana out there in the South American region, bringing that back out here for a situation around the Porter, that would be huge for the boxing fans, especially for people that want to see Maidana make his career jump back into the ranks of being talked about in the boxing world today.
I mean, Maidana's a gentleman who fought Broner, knocked him down, beat him, which subsequently got him two fights and two of the biggest paydays of his entire life. Marcos Maidana needs to fight anyone and beat them. And then he'll be back in the light and the good graces of everyone, of his culture, and anyone from the South American region that is in love with Marcos Maidana, because that's all he needs to do is win. He lost to... some would say the greatest boxer of this generation, of all time. So, and he lost twice, decisively, both times. So when his fans or when his people look at those fights, they can say that he got the opportunity and the biggest payday of his life to fight the best, and he just wasn't good enough. But now he just needs to fight someone and win. If he fights Sean Porter next, that'll be three losses in a row, and no one else. I don't think anyone will care about him anymore, because it's not going to be a big payday. It's definitely not going to, you know, be great. Yes, he is a big puncher, but like you said, he's just throwing loops. The moment he tries to throw one, Sean Porter's going to knock him out. He's not as skilled or ready for that yet. But to be honest, later on that same night, there is a gentleman fighting who I want to see Marcos Maidana fight. It's interesting. I'm kind of flipping the script on you, and we'll get to Adrian in a second real fast. But I think if Robert Guerrero can beat the gentleman he fights later on that night or the first fight of the night, I think Marcos Maidana and Robert Guerrero would be a good fight. We saw what Robert Guerrero did in that fight against Kamagai at StubHub Center. I mean, he was taking some vicious blows, but he was dwelling them out too. So I think those two guys would be a good fight. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, throwing smoke, but I think that would be the next step for Maidana. It would be a banger. It would be good, and I think it's a fight he could win. As for Sean Porter and Maidana, like I said, I think Sean Porter is way too talented, way too powerful, and he's just – we were just talking about him, you know, Floyd not wanting to put his title up against him because of the opportunity or the possibilities that fighting this gentleman may bring. And we saw what Floyd did to Marcos. So I don't understand Sean Porter fighting Maidana just because I think, yeah, it could be a good fight for the first, you know, round, but it wouldn't take Porter longer than that to figure out Maidana and to lay him out, in my opinion.
But here's the interesting situation. People thought the same situation about Adrian Broner. They thought Adrian Broner was the more established boxer at that given time, and he came into the ring with nothing to lose and took care of business in the second and the, I think, the 11th round where he knocked Broner down twice. So
the thing is, though, the thing with that is, though, Broner hadn't faced defeat yet. Sean Porter's faced a defeat. He knows what it feels like to be, not necessarily knocked down in the ring, but subsequently knocked down in his boxing career life and get back up. Maidana went up against the guy. Obviously, he had nothing to lose, but Broner had almost, in his mind, nothing to lose. He had a zero at the end of his record for a reason in his mind. So I think Broner's confidence and arrogance allowed him in that fight to get caught from a guy who we all could agree was not as talented in the ring as Adrian is. That's plain and simple. So yes, he did catch Adrian, but I don't think it was Marcos Maidana showing his will or beating him. I mean, we saw it. Was it the first or second round? He turned Marcos Maidana around, and I'm sorry, cover your ears, but he was humping the guy. I mean, he was play-humping him because he was having fun, and it's so arrogant, and he just didn't even respect this guy. So it just he didn't, you know what I'm saying? He was not ready. Adrian Broner wasn't ready because he was so not into that ring, into that fight, because he thought he was so hyped. What did you just say? We all thought Broner was going to do that. We hyped him up. He hyped himself up because he's already very, very egotistical. And he well-deserved, but he was just too far gone, in my opinion. And Maidana took advantage of that because he really had nothing to lose. I think now he's going up. If this fight were to happen, he'd be going up against a Porter who would have just been Adrian Broner, and now would be looking at Marcos Maidana in his pathway to fighting a big fight for a championship for big money. Because if you're talking Floyd's gone, it's him, it's Kell Brook, and it's Keith Thurman now. Those are the big names in this class that are going to be making the big money. So, yeah, I just don't think I get what you're saying. I understand that fight with Broner, yeah, he had nothing to lose, but I think Broner didn't take that fight seriously.
Now, interesting enough, do you think there's a situation if Porter does win? Let's say Porter wins. Do you think Floyd will take this personal like he did when Maidana won that fight up against Broner the last time he lost back in 2013? Do you think Floyd will end up giving Porter the shot at the legacy of Floyd Mayweather?
I think this is my dream, and I dreamed this because I think this could happen. He knocks out Broner, and his post-interview, he calls out Floyd and says, "I just beat your baby brother. Are you going to defend him?" Because that would get under Floyd's skin so much that I think that could entice Floyd to say, "I need to teach this kid a lesson. I need to teach him, you know, who the best is. And just because you beat, you know, someone I used to work with, you think you can beat me? Uh-uh, son. I'm TBE. There's a zero for a reason. Let's do this." I think Kong would get wiped off the table, and a Sean Porter contract would be signed immediately. I really do think you're right. If he does beat him, he calls out Floyd, and he disrespects Floyd. Man, we all seen how Floyd gets when you disrespect him. He gets mad, and he hasn't been that way for a couple fights now. Floyd hasn't been very, very vocal, boisterous like he was with Canelo. Canelo was so – the way he disrespected Canelo outside of the ring, I haven't seen him do that since then. You know, he's been so courteous, so respectful to his opponents that if Sean Porter beats Adrian Broner and disrespects him and not only would he disrespect him, Ty, he would disrespect him on free TV. The entire world would – the entire U.S. nation would be watching this fight. Not only Ohio, I know it's Ohio, but this fight is big enough that I think this is going to pull some huge numbers, not only because Robert Guerrero is on the ticket as well, but because these two are big names in this fight. These two are you know, money. So this
Wait. Before you go any further, I think you're giving Guerrero a lot of respect right now. I think you're giving him a lot of respect right now. Name the last
time
Guerrero
fought. I think I'm giving him a following. Not necessarily a respect.
Listen. Name the last fight Guerrero has won. I wait.
He beat StubHub Center Kamagai. It was two fights ago. An Asian Kamagai knockout artist. I watched that fight. But the thing is, I'm not giving Guerrero credit for anything. He's got a following. He's got a following. Whether I like it or not, the guy's got a following of people that are going to want to watch him. He's going to draw a little bit of a crowd. I'm just saying, not necessarily the reason why you're going to watch it. It's free, Ty. Nobody's paying for it. You don't even have to pay for HBO for this. You can just turn the channel to 12 and watch it. So that's what I'm saying, as everyone's going to want to watch it now. These are two guys that are big in Porter and Broner in boxing world. You know, us are going to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. We're all going to know about it because it's free. I think this is going to be big enough for a lot of people to see. And we're talking about Porter getting a shot at Floyd. The TV is going to be talking about Porter getting a shot at Floyd if victory is, you know, in the future, or if victory is Porter's at the end of the fight. So, you know, we're all in this age of social media. We get to round two, and Porter is dominating Broner like crazy, and everyone's talking about it, how free it is, PBC's blowing up. I'm going to be talking about it. It's going to get out there. People are going to start watching it, especially since it's free. We see what happens on nights that games, we've seen games, whether it be basketball, football, or baseball, where at the beginning, maybe the hardcore are watching, maybe a few of the hardcore, plus the hardcore and a few more are watching, but those ones start tweeting out how great it is. Those ones start Facebooking how awesome the game is, and then more and more come, and the game is so good that it just drew a crowd. I think that this fight could go that way to where we're looking at Porter dominating and everyone tweeting out how, man, this guy is getting in Broner. He's doing him like this. We got to watch how Baby Floyd is getting beat up. That's what people talk about. So I really do think if he beats him and Sean Porter disrespects him and calls him out, that's the light. That's the fire under the butt that Floyd would love, because it would give him a challenge to once again prove why he's the best. And man, it would be. He's already turned me around, Ty. I already told you before the Manny fight. If he did what he was supposed to do and did it to the best, there was no more denying for me. So there's no more denying. The point is if he fights this kid who we both have stated he wouldn't fight because, you know, it would be in May, he would be 39, and there would be nothing left to prove. But if he beats Broner and calls him out and disrespects him, I think Floyd would just take it just because he's the best. And he would be like, you can't disrespect me on national television and think you're going to get away with it just because you beat Broner. I already proved twice to Madonna what that gives you. I'm gonna prove it to you. So yeah, I think if he does beat him and disrespect him, and continues to disrespect him via social media and what we can get out there on YouTube and things like that, Floyd might just take him up on his offer and have to prove to why he's TB.
Okay, so look, I prepared a dish especially for you here in Sports City, just for you, Mr. Silva. Now, let's just say, right, this all goes down exactly how you dream of this going down, and he takes care of business up against Broner, ends up fighting Floyd this September. If he's able to get back within a three-month run, which I think he can, if Floyd ends up beating Porter, how do you feel about that TBE then?
Oh man, this is all, you know, like I said on the crossover last night, when if is a fifth, we'll all be drunk. But if he beats Porter the way he beating everyone else, you know, all the I could differentiate between a man outside of a ring and inside of a ring. Inside that ring, I don't know if there's anyone better than that man. If he beats Porter and he beats him the best way ever. I mean, as great as Ali was, this man has never, ever tasted the canvas. Never.
Right.
Not once in his life.
Right.
Not once in his life, Floyd.
That's just a dish for you. That was just a dish for you. You could wrap that up, put it in a doggy bag, or put it in the fridge.
Hey, wait, hold on, you're doing a lot of cutting me off.
That's just a lot of food for thought. I hope you are still doing these dishes, okay? Just making sure. Now, let's look at the other side of the spectrum. Because we're doing a lot of talk about AB losing. And Broner, don't think I feel the type of way. He actually has relation to some Powells, too. So that's why I actually have an affiliation and a strong liking for Adrian Broner. He has Powells in his family, so I feel some type of way. But let's say if AB wins this fight, what is next in line for Adrian Broner? Is Kell Brook on the horizon? Is Manny Pacquiao on the horizon? Danny Garcia is who he's been calling out. Who is
that?
Oh,
you said it. You said it. And I knew you. I didn't think you were going to say it because I know you since the last time we talked.
I cook.
Swift. If he beats Porter, Broner gets what Broner wants from here on out. If he beats Porter, there's nothing stopping Broner from getting any fight he wants. He wants Danny. He's been calling him out. And I think it's it. If he beats Porter, he gets whatever he wants from here on out and whoever he wants. He wants Danny, he gets Danny. If he beats Porter and he gets Danny, oh, my goodness. That's going to be a woo. Because that's going to be at 147. Broner will have no problem taking Danny up to 147. So... And Danny's got a fight with who's he got a fight with coming up, Ty? I know you know.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm actually pulling his information up now on the next upcoming fight. But give or take, Danny does take care of business in that fight, and they set this one up because they've actually talked being Danny Garcia's father. And Angel Garcia and Adrian Broner, they've actually been caught a couple times speaking to one another. This would be an interesting fight, but knowing that Garcia's last showing was not impressive, at least to me. I think he had to be much more out there up against Peterson to win that fight, but he was actually given that situation in that fight out in Barclays. But if that goes
Lamont.
Down, oh boy. What'd you say?
When he fought Lamont. I said when he fought Lamont Peterson.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. That fight. He didn't have a great showing. I didn't like what I saw from him from that fight. So that's why I wasn't too keen, like you weren't too, you know, overwhelmingly anxious for him to jump to 147. But like I said, If Broner beats Porter, and Danny's supposed to take care of who he's going to take care of, Paulie Maginale, there it is, it just came to me. He's fighting Paulie, if I'm not mistaken. If I seen the poster correctly, it should be Danny Garcia and Paulie Maginale. And that's going to be, if he takes care of him like he's supposed to.
Wait, hold on. Is that really a fight, man? Is that really a fight, dog?
Hold on, let me, because
I know. They're saying that they're in talks about that fight, but like literally, pick it right now. Danny Garcia or Paulie Maginale?
It's Danny Garcia, and it is. It's August 1st. I think that there it is. Here it is. so possible. There it is. I found it. That's why I thought it was Danny Garcia versus Paulie possible for August 1st. You know, that's the one that they're talking about. So Dan Raphael, VSPN, saying that it's in the works. When he says something's in the works, I back him. I read him a lot, so I stand behind Dan. But if that's a fight that goes down, you like you said, call it now. I'll call it now. I mean, it's Danny all the way. So when Danny beats Paulie, if that's the fight that subsequently goes down, we're going to see, you know, Broner fight Danny if he beats Porter. So Danny will be waiting, but like I said, he's going to push him to 147. That's what's going to happen, and that's what makes the fight even more interesting, because you're fighting at a weight that you're not comfortable with in Danny Garcia, I feel, and Broner's fighting at a weight that he feels most comfortable in. That fight right there has me on edge, because it's going to be interesting to see how Danny translates to the 147 power, him taking it and him being able to dish it out. But, man, if he can translate it, the dude would be 31-0 by the time he fights Broner. If he's 32-0 at 147 and Kell Brook still got that zero, then – I mean, I know I'm looking way in the future, but we could be looking at a Danny Garcia-Kell Brook fight next year, in around this time next year. If Danny Garcia takes care of his next two fighters, whoever the first one may be, and Adrian Broner, if Adrian Broner wins, because like I said, Adrian Broner gets who he wants if he beats Porter, and he wants Danny, he's going to get him. So we're looking at Danny Garcia possibly fighting two people at 147, and then getting a shot at Kell Brook, and that would be dangerous, and that would be very interesting to see. But like I said, that's really that's 365 days at least from now. So, but if Broner wins, Broner gets who he wants, and Broner doesn't shy away from who he wants as the next opponent. He will let you know on Twitter, on Facebook, on any social media site you want to get on, the Vines, the YouTubes. He'll let everyone know who he wants next, and it's been Danny. So after or if he takes care of Sean Porter, it's going to have to be Danny Garcia, in my opinion. I think that's who he goes after. And then again, if he does what he's supposed to do and he beats Danny Garcia, it's whoever he wants. So Adrian Broner holds his own future in his hands with Al Haymon backing him and being on national television. If he wins and wins decisively against Sean Porter and then he fights a Danny Garcia on a pay-per-view, wins and wins decisively, with Al Haymon's backing, anyone Adrian Broner wants, Adrian Broner could get at any time, and he holds his own future in his hands, pretty much. So, you know, no pun, no play on words, because he's a boxer, but he really does hold his own future in his hands, and if he could, you know, do what he's supposed to do, that loss to Marcos Maidana could just be wiped away and you know, chalked up to a learning experience.
Okay, fair enough. Now knowing Porter, knowing Broner's situation, he has a couple of fighters that he could set up against. Also up against Matisse. I would love to see that bomb that flies over back in that fight too. Somebody will get knocked out in that fight because I do not think any one of those dudes will run from each other. Listen, somebody's going to either be swollen or bloody or laid out. So there's a lot of potential behind what Broner could present if he wins this fight. And then let's just say this. If Broner wins this fight, he is going to be the next one that's going to start getting paydays because a lot of people do not like to see Adrian win fights. So I think that's going to be pretty interesting. There was a quick note that I wanted to get to. It slipped my mind. I know it's going to come back to me, but I definitely want to, kind of transition into this main event. Oh, I have it. Quickly, before we jump into the main event fight tonight, because we are down to the last quarter of the show, Andre Ward has come out and spoken. And guess what he said, Mr. Silva? He says, and I quote, Andre Ward says, Gennady Golovkin does not want to fight him. Your thoughts on Andre Ward calling Golovkin out? Nacho, are you still there?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. I was on mute and I was talking to nobody.
I reset my phone and everything because I thought it was me. So I'm like, okay. So now, let's do this.
I was yelling right now at no one.
I feel some type of way. I apologize. I thought I was having a hiccup. So I hurried up and ran out of here to take care of my phone adjustments. And I get back here to find out it wasn't me, but somebody fooling with my food. Somebody's fooling with my food. Okay, so Nacho, this is the food that I'm dishing out here. Your thoughts on the call-out. I don't know if you heard everything.
I did.
The call-out from Ward towards Triple G.
Okay, let's start this all over because now you can hear me. All right, sorry. I never really wanted to do that. But the thing is, it's a little too late for me. I'm Team Triple G, and I know you kind of like the guy, so I'm pretty much just a little like, come on now. The guy called you out after every fight. He's knocked someone out, along with Cotto, along with Canelo, along with other top guys in the class. So he and Triple G has never shied away from calling you out. Now you're going to call him out. In my opinion, just sign the contract, fight the guy now. He's got nothing else to do. Triple G likes to fight. He loves to fight. Don't call the guy out. Write the contract. If you want to be the guy that's cool, that, you want to call the guy out, how about you make a contract up and you sign it and you do what Floyd or Manny did and you post a picture on Twitter and you say, Triple G, get at me. You want to do this? You come sign it. Because I guarantee you Triple G hops in the first airplane, flies to wherever he's at, and signs that contract because Triple G don't shy away from no fight. So calling Triple G out don't mean nothing. It's the guy in the boxing ring who doesn't have gloves. So he says, if I had my pair of gloves, man, I'll call you out, man, but I don't got my gloves right now. I mean, that's pretty much all you're doing when you're calling somebody out. I don't like it. I never like when anyone does it, really, outside of after a post-interview fight. That is the only time I feel it is opportune for you to start calling people out. When you do it over airways and you do it on TV and you do it whatever, it don't mean much to me, especially if you haven't fought in 2 years. I want you to fight someone. I want you to beat someone. And when they're interviewing you and they ask you who do you want to fight next, that's when you tell everyone who you want to fight next. Not after a two-year layoff, after you haven't fought anyone, after this guy is called you out after, like I said, everyone he knocks out, he calls out everyone in the top of the class, and those guys still don't want to fight him. It's all falling on deaf ears to me. Ward, you want to fight him? You know where he's at. Go find him. Sign a contract and fight him. That's all there is.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to get away from it, but there's been one more call out toward Triple G. Guess who? I'll give you one guess. You won't get
Oscar De La Hoya.
Oh, so he's good. He's good, Swizzity. I'm putting a lot of cook. He said he wants out of retirement. He wants Triple G. I'm just, listen, when I heard that, I shook my head so hard. like I could break my neck. Okay. So,
Swizzity, I'll leave my phone on mute for that one.
Right, both of us. Look, we just got to go on complete death mode. Swizzity, I apologize. But you got a 30-second hiccup. Okay, so now the main event with Daniel Gill, the Australian, coming to fight Miguel Cotto, which to me, I'm going to answer this first, because I'm going to let Nacho do a lot of cooking today. Cotto should manhandle this guy. Should manhandle him. If there's too much behind Cotto, Cotto still has interesting days in front of him now. He can't go into this fight sleeping because Gill wants to make his way back into, you know, credible boxing status. Your thoughts on this match, the main event, with Daniel going up against Miguel?
You know, I really have to agree with you. We talked a little bit about it. This should be an easy walkthrough for Cotto, a warm-up prep fight for his fight with Canelo. Again, I told you in the green room, this fight shouldn't even be happening. He should be fighting Canelo right now. He is mandatory. He is the lineal middleweight champion. His mandatory fight is Triple G. But instead of fighting Triple G, he should fight Canelo. But instead of fighting Canelo, he fights Daniel Gill. Come on now. Daniel Gill tried to punch Triple G in the mouth. Which he did, that ended up getting Daniel Gill knocked out. the price you pay for fighting Triple G. So Daniel Gill has no business in this fight, fighting a lineal middleweight champion. I don't understand this. I don't get it. This is a warm-up, tune-up fight for Cotto so he can get ready to fight Canelo because he feels – that if he beats Canelo, then he's ready for Triple G and whatever. I don't know, whatever he thinks of. But again, Miguel Cotto, again, is the lineal middleweight champion. His mandatory, again, is Triple G, and he's not going to fight him for at least two more fights. And the whatchamacallit, the governing body of his champion, the WBC, is letting this happen. They're letting it go. Apparently, the Canelo-Cotto fight can only happen if the guy who wins promises to fight Triple G next, signs a contract to fight Triple G next. So while Triple G has to fight and continue to fight whoever wants to fight him, because who he wants to fight obviously doesn't want to fight him, he has to fight guys that he, you know, that want to try to make a name like a Daniel Gill who get knocked out. So it's just he's going to have to stack up that knockout record, to stack the record. He's only getting older, waiting to fight the champion. So I don't know if Miguel Cotto is just waiting for, you know, Triple G to get into his 40s and then he's going to fight him. But Miguel Cotto, just stop running and fight the guy. He's your mandatory. Fight him next. This fight really means nothing. It's going to be a walkthrough for him. Like I said, though, in the green room, anything can happen at any given time. And if by some miracle of God, some act of, I don't know, biblical proportions, Daniel Gill pulls off a victory against Miguel Cotto, this shakes up the entire middleweight division. Because now you got it doesn't make no sense. I just don't get it. So it's a walkthrough, easy, you know, wrap it up fight. Should be, you know, Miguel Cotto doing his thing. You know, he's gotten better under the tutelage of Freddie Roach. But, you know, in a lesser picture as it pertains to Miguel Cotto, he is signed with Roc Nation. Is it Roc Nation? Or I think it's Roc Nation. I can't.
Roc Nation.
he's a Rock Nation. So, you know, hopefully he pulls a victory off for them. I know I messaged you something earlier, but that was wrong, so we won't get into that. But, you know, Jay-Z, you know, hopefully he gets a victory for that and his, you know, his accomplishments and his things. But, like I said, as it pertains to the WBC, they need to get their act together. They need to make these guys fight each other. They need to stop, you know, kitty-footing around and letting these guys tell them what to do. I'm sorry, Miguel Cotto, you should be fighting Triple G tonight or in a couple weeks from now, a few weeks from now. This shouldn't even be a fight on your resume. But, you know, you want what you want because you're the A-side, right? We all saw the Martinez fight. He's the A-side. He was so you know, adamant about that. Man, get in the ring and fight. So, but he won't because he's scared of Triple G. So he'll run still, and he'll get away from it, and he'll pay the fines or whatever WBC wants him to pay, if there is any, for not fighting the mandatory or whatever happens. But Miguel Cotto is scared of Triple G, so that's why he's fighting Gil tonight, and that's why he wants Canelo first.
Okay, fair enough, Sports City. I'm going to let us get out here as best as we can. We are at the end of this show because last night in Sports City, I tried. And I apologize. I should have did it at the beginning of the show, but last night I tried to make sure that everybody's plate was clean. They all told me it was, and then we were in the OT and we didn't get our clothes off. I'm going to make sure we give you guys a proper clothes off like we normally do around this time. So, Mr. Silva, thank you for coming down to this food fight with me and they setting up shop and shutting it down. I need a plug, a close out, anything that you like to promote as we shut down the kitchen tonight.
You know, at Not Two in a Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. At the food fight, man, you know, we missed a couple days. Work got in the way. But we back, and this is like you said, Sean Porter, Adrian Broner coming up. Boxing's not dead. We got some big fights. Everything is on the up and up for this sport. There are going to be definite fights that come through that you don't even expect to be slobber knockers that are. There's going to be brawls. There's going to be good fights. Like I said, I'm going to say it again. I know it was May 2nd, and we all the way over here in June. But if you paid $100 for a brawl and you mad you got a boxing lesson, that's your fault. Al Heyman's trying to make it right by giving you these free fights for as long as he can. So, and Top Rank Boxing with their deal too. They're trying to give you free boxing because we all know what happened. You know, we all know the promotions. They promoted it like a fight and a brawl. But hey, if you didn't know Floyd was going to do that, that's your own fault. But still, Al Heyman, thank you for these free fights. Thank you for what we got in store. What's going on? And you know, man, fight Triple G, man. Just fight him. Just fight him so he can be the lineal middleweight champion. Then he can move up, and then we can see what he's really made of once he moves up to the next weight class. Because there is no one at 160 that can see him. Let Canelo move up. I know I like Canelo a lot. I think Canelo is a good fighter, but. Let Canelo move up to 160 and taste that power as well. He can eat the canvas just as easily as everyone else. Team Triple G is going to do what he does. He's going to knock everyone out in his path to that lineal championship and then move his way on up to 172, and we're going to have to see what he's really made of, if his chin can withstand it and if his power can translate. That's what I'm more excited to see. Like I said, there's nobody in 160 that can see Triple G in the ring. This division is his to take. As soon as Miguel Cotto either loses that belt and then the winner decides to fight Triple G, or he gets, you know, he grows what most men have between their legs and fights him, then that's what's going to happen. Triple G is going to win it, and then he'll just move on to his next weight class. But we're going to have to live through this Cotto-Gil fight tonight, and like you said, it's going to be a yawner. Cotto's going to walk through him, but... You know, that's the way Cotto wants it done. That's the way Cotto's going to have it done. So, Team Triple G, thank you again, Ty. Sorry for a lot of the interruptions tonight, but, you know, it's food fight, trying to get it all in. See you next weekend, man.
Like I said, Sports City, I apologize. This dude wants to eat all of his food to himself. He's not trying to share. He's trying to keep it to himself. I And the crazy part is, I see we got a caller at the end of the show. If you want to say something quickly, you can press 1, let us know what's on your mind. We can try and get that one there quickly. Otherwise, we're going to shut her down. The caller did want to hit the well, Sports City, let's buckle up. Let's see what's going on. 651 area code, welcome to the Food Fight. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Actually, I wanted to touch up on that Cotto Gill fight real quick before you guys get off the air.
Okay, your thoughts on this fight? Who do you like and why?
At the end of the day, Cotto's definitely going to be the smaller man, but you guys need to forget, though, that Daniel Gill, he's a 3-time world champion. He's a former unified champion. He went to Germany and fought Felix Sturm in his hometown and won. He's got great movement. Unfortunately, anyone who does fight GG is probably going to get knocked out. He's just a war machine, and he's on a completely different level. But I think Gil's a smart guy. I think he's good at timing. I think he's got great power. He's done some damage. You know, he knows how to work the body. He doesn't fight like your average Australian or even like European fighter. He's got great footwork. He's got a good ring IQ. He's got some experience. He's fought like Mundine, Felix Sturm, Parker. He's got experience against Triple G. So I think, he's going to be the bigger guy. He's got more reach. He's definitely taller. When it comes to skill level, I think Cotto will get him. I feel like there might be like a late round TKO. Daniel can kind of keep him moving and keep him off his feet. I don't think for one second that Cotto is going to be the defensive fighter in here. I think he's going to be the offense, but he's going to have to keep him at bay and kind of stop him from coming in. And, we'll see. We'll see how the fight turns out. But I think Cotto is going to be a late stoppage. But I don't think he's going to walk through Daniel Gill the way that, like, Triple G walked through Daniel Gill. I think this is a different kind of fight. But it should be a good one.
Caller, your name first. What's your name, sir?
It's Michael Campbell.
Okay. Now, Mike, can I call you Mike or Michael? Which one do you prefer?
Yeah, you can call me Mike, man.
Okay. I don't want to be disrespectful. Now, interesting situation that you throw out how Gil's tactics in the ring and his ring generalship is actually what works for him. But the way that Triple G walked through him was not impressive. It was not impressive. And I understand that you said everybody that Triple G fights, he's going to end up taking their head off. But let's look at Triple G's resume. Who interesting did he fight?
He fought Martin Murray, who fought Martin Murray.
Like, raise my eyebrows, please. I'll wait. That's what I'm saying. Who? I'm being funny. Who?
Oh, you're talking like people who he's actually fought, like, in his resume? Like, I mean, you really can't compare anyone because they're all C-level fighters.
And comparable to Miguel Cotto, like, Cotto has a ring journalship and names on his resume that he's either beaten or lost to. His experience actually gives him a greater chance at taking care of business up against Gil, because to be honest, when Gil fought Triple G, he was on his horse all fight long.
No, actually, Triple G was very wide, and if you watch the fight, he was actually ducking and dodging a lot of those punches. Now, the knockdown actually came out from when Gil hit him in the first place, and
right.
Since Triple G has a tougher chin than Cotto does, okay, because Cotto's chin isn't that tough, he took the shot and then came back and rocked him. So you look at all his fights that he has been fighting, whether it's Monroe, whether it's Rubio, who has a win over David Lemieux, who is in talks to be the next guy who Golden Boy thinks they can beat Triple G. Rubio knocked him out. He's got a very tough chin, and he's got a tougher chin than Cotto does. And Cotto, come on, he came in a fight at 153. Not even a full-fledged middleweight yet. So you're talking about a guy who walks around at 180 pounds and drops weight to a guy that walks around at 155 pounds and who cuts 2 pounds. So, I mean, it's a totally different fight because Cotto doesn't have the type of power that people fear when it comes to Triple G. It's a different mind game when you're stepping into that ring knowing that.
But when boxers lose at least 15 to 20 pounds, they lose a lot of stamina. Like let's say, for instance, when Roy Jones fought Ruiz, him losing all of that weight to try and fight Roy didn't help him.
Absolutely not.
So looking at the situation where he's coming to Cotto, and I understand that he's a heavier boxer, but his power might not be there. You lose weight like that, you're losing muscle also. You're not just losing that rotor weight. He's losing muscle to get that weight down to where it's comfortable for them to be at this this weight that they're fighting at.
So you're talking about the 157 catch weight with Gil? Gil's not a big guy to begin with. He's always been kind of a soft guy, so the muscle hasn't really always been there. He's not, you know, he doesn't come in fight looking like, you know, Timothy Bradley or Floyd Mayweather. You know, he's softer. He's kind of a softer fighter, and he always been. So I know Daniel Gil, actually, and I've had several conversations with him, and he's actually got a really extraordinary way of cutting weight. Regardless of him weighing 166 pounds last week, UFC fighters do it all the time. So they can cut 20 pounds in a week. It's just if you go about it the right way, some people can't. But I think Gil, I don't think the weight factor will really, you know, Gil's camp is the one that reached out to Cotto and said, hey, we can fight down to a 157. Which I don't know if it makes any sense. It's because Cotto, when he fought Martinez, the catch weight was 159, and Cotto still came in at 155. And yet he was having a 6,000-calorie daily diet. So, I mean, he was eating healthy, he was happy, he was smiling, he still came in and dominated. But I don't think, you know, there's two different factors in this fight. A, Gil still has his legs. So, and B, he's been active. Even after the Triple G fight, he went and fought another fight, won it, comes back. You know, he's not taking much time. He's staying active. Cotto's been out for a whole year. Cotto's regularly been out for a whole year. So, you know, he's kind of slowing down. He knows this. He's not trying to put any more wear and tear in his body. And I think you have to take all that into account, what's going to happen tonight. I think Cotto's still going to win, but I don't think he's going to just walk through him like Triple G did, because we both know that Triple G kind of possesses that freak power.
True.
You know, so
you mentioned Gil's feet work. You don't think the fight with Martinez, albeit a year ago, you don't think the fight with Martinez and his excellent footwork, you don't think that was that got Cotto prepared? And I know, like you said, it was a year ago, but that's still a fight that takes me back and take away the knee. He was still moving around at being Martinez. So I don't think Daniel Gil's footwork is going to be as impressive, especially to a guy like you said. He walks around at 155, so cutting this isn't going to be anything to him, and he's still going to have the footwork. And like, I just really think the addition of Freddie Roach as his trainer has really jumped his skill level and the way he comes at fighters just up a notch. So I don't think we were in saying and anticipating him walking through him. I wasn't saying walking through him as a fact like Triple G walked through him. I think he just takes care of business the way he should. And I think Daniel Gil, he's tasted the canvas. The Triple G punch, whether or not a flush win or not, it ended the fight. He got up and he couldn't even walk anymore. So I think if Cotto can get in there and multi-punch him a couple times or even work that body, maybe an 8, but 10 or 11, I could see it, but just going at it like that. But I would have to say that I think he's ready for that footwork, even with, like you said, a year off. He's faced a lot of guys with great, excellent footwork, especially a Floyd Mayweather type of fighters. So he's been in the ring with guys with excellent footwork.
Well, true, but, I mean, who had better footwork in that fight between him and Mayweather? Cotto did. That's why Mayweather wasn't moving around much, and that's why the fight was as close as it was. So in order to beat Cotto, you need to be faster. You need to be quicker on your footwork, unless you're Margarito and you're cheating, and we go about that route. But I don't think you can't compare Martinez's fight, because Martinez was reaching all night. You know, he wasn't really moving around like he was or he used to. You know, he was reaching all fight because he couldn't get any leverages on his punches. And, you know, the whole knee played a factor. The first knockdown played a big factor. And it really kind of just disrupted. I mean, there was times where Martinez kind of sat in the pocket and didn't really know what to do just because he was so discombobulated from the hits that Cotto was bringing. I think this is just Gil's a fresher fighter. He's younger. You know, Martinez was damn near 40, coming off two knee surgeries. He's in top tremendous shape. So, you know, like I said, I think it's going to be a good one. I think you're going to see Gil kind of trying to do the Pauly thing, you know, like he did against Broner. He's not going to really throw much power, but he's going to get enough to kind of win some rounds. And then when he starts to gas, Cotto might come in and start wearing at the body, and then he'll take off the head like he's supposed to.
All right.
Okay, Mike, what was your last name, sir?
Campbell.
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks for stopping by. We need you here next week because I want to hear how you feel after the math, especially if Cotto takes care of business, or if you're right, if Gil actually makes this an interesting fight or wins the fight.
Hey, Ty.
I want, yes, sir.
I got a disclaimer I got to tell you right now. Mike's coming over to my house this afternoon to watch the Cotto fight with me. I didn't realize until about 5 minutes ago listening to this guy talk, and then when he messaged me saying he's on the air with us, I would have figured it out. But he's got a 6151 area code, and I don't know his number by heart, so he snuck in here on us. This is my friend. He snuck in on us. But he will watch the fight with me, and we would definitely have to see, and I will make sure his butt gets in here next Saturday. But, yeah, I didn't know he was coming on just quite yet, but he's on. I hate to give it away like that, but I had to get the disclaimer out for you.
Oh, okay. So now they're sneaking people in from Minnesota. this is getting bad. They're sneaking people in from my state now. Look. I'm from Connecticut, but I'm a Minnesota Twins fan, so I know about the area code, and they sneak them in the kitchen. Not to do a lot of crazy stuff, Sports City. He give me 30 seconds of quiet talk, and he's sneaking people in here to try to put me in my place. Trying to put me in my place. Look, Sports City. Okay,
well, no,
so
I didn't try to sneak him in. Wait, hold on.
You cut me off a lot. I wasn't aware of this. You could tell me in the green room that you had somebody trying to come in here and throw some shots in it, and you know what I mean? But it's okay. It's okay. Well, Mr. Gamble, now that I know that you are paying attention to Sports City, I want to see you here more than once, or if you only have one bout in here, if Cotto gets the first round knockout, I understand, because like I tell people can choose to be here, what you did,
right?
I have to be here, okay? There's a difference. I have to be here. So hopefully you enjoy that fight with Nacho. Y'all high-five. Well, I don't know if you'll high-five him if Cotto gets the first round knockout. I know that for sure. But if it does go down like that, I'd actually – want you there knowing that you're coming here. I didn't know this, and you came at the end of the show when we were closing up shop, but we made a dish for you also. So anything that you'd like to promote, plug, or shout somebody out, please do so.
Okay, yeah. I mean, shout-outs, you know, like I said, I texted Daniel a couple times. You know, we talk boxing a lot. I'm a huge boxing fan, so I know pretty much every in and out. Todd Fighters, you know, done the Golden Glove, shit like that. So, shout outs to, you know, my boy Danny Montoya, who made his professional debut last month for the Iron Boy fight team in Phoenix, Arizona. Came away with a knockout victory. Going to help, like, manage his career. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, MPTC Experience. And, you know, I'm always posting funny shit in boxing, so tune in. And I'll be here next week, win or lose, draw, with the Cotto fight. For sure. So we'll talk more boxing because there's a lot more good fights that are coming up. And we got fucking Broner and Porter coming up, and I'm all excited
about
that.
You just missed all of that. Wait. First you come into the kitchen cuffing like a sailor, and then you just, we at least gave these people 35 minutes of that fight, and you come to eat. At the end of the day, this is how I feel about restaurants. You know, like restaurants that close at like 10 or 11 o'clock, right? And then you see a family of like six walk in with like 15 minutes left. You like, man, oh, we got to cook some more. And then next thing you know, they order a buffet. Like they ordered everything on the menu. And then it's like, okay, now since we love to cook, we're going to cook for you because we're going to show you that we can do this. And you come at the end of the show. But it's okay. So hopefully you get your tail on time in here. Unless you're working, then I understand. If you're working, I understand. But if not, you better get here and come eat with us. I know we big boys, and we got to make room for you.
I barely found out about your show like 20 minutes ago. So my bad. But real quick, who'd you guys pick for that fight?
For which fight?
Sean Porter.
For Grown Up Porter? Nacho, I'll let you go first.
I pick Sean Porter. I think it's an early knockout.
And
if you want the rest of the analysis, you could just listen to the archive.
Right, right. Hey, there we go. There we go.
I am a
Broner fan, but I think the way that Porter throws punches with bad intention, I think this could actually spell danger for Broner, because Broner isn't the best at being elusive. He more or less tried to do the Philly shell also, and he gets caught when doing that. He's not a master at that like Floyd is. So I think that could be a situation. If he gets caught on the button anywhere in that head region, this can actually dizzy him, same way that Maidana actually did it to him back in 2013.
But I'm going for Broner, but, you know.
I like Broner. I like Broner, and I said he's related to some Powells, and that's my last name. So that's why, I have a strong liking for him. But his rant on how, confident he is in his fighting style, and I don't know if this will catch up to him, because both of these guys are fighting for the state of Ohio, so there's a lot on the line other than just seeing who can knock out who. So there's a lot
True.
Behind this fight.
All right, man. Well, thanks for having me on the show, man. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah. Hopefully you better get here. I got your number, so we'll call you if you ain't in the kitchen, that's for sure, because Nacho like to do silent talk in the kitchen. I at least try to get Nacho to get his stuff together. I try. So you better get here, both of y'all, man. Singing Kumbaya, holding hands. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I'll be back here tomorrow, Sunday, brunching it up. A lot of stuff to get into. You already know we got to be focused on this finals with LeBron and no Kyrie. Cleveland at the edge of their seat, hoping that they can hang on. Golden State hoping that they can pull off the 2-0 lead. NFL talk, I got a lot of that stuff popping off on my page. I even got Packers fans talking about the Lions. It's beautiful, Sports City. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. Our music keeps you moving, what are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for the tap. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard him up, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Gat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is a phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I kick a few floors, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my presence. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, rap done. Ridiculous, and I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Two auto, mattos, used to call me Fatso, now you call me Castro. My rap flows, militant, y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Chris Stout keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, homes. You in the danger zone, you shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me, the most shady. Frankie baby, fantastic, graphic. Try to make dough like Jurassic. Parked in, pick the spark kids who start shit. See me, only me, the underboss of this holocaust. Truly yours, Frank White.
I got the real live shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at?
get your math on. Break it down, split it up, get your laugh on. See you later, dog, I'ma get my stash on. There's a bag full of money that I get my ass on. I never lose the passion to go platinum. Said I live it up to all the cash on. Ain't that funny? Only use plastic, craft it to make plastic. Hotter than acid, TV, blowing on your tape of TV. The billboard killer, no scene killer. The famo, ammo, and every channel. We've been hot for a long time, burning like a candle. What you can do is check your distribution. My song from the Houston, like Starbucks to Houston. You ain't got it like me, you just mad cause I tell it how it is. And you tell it how it might be.
We got this shit mapped tight, brass knuckles and flashlights. The heaters in the two seaters with two meters. Senoritas, kiss rings when you meet us. D Diddy run the city, show no pity. I'm the witty one, Frank the crook from the brook. Maddie broke the neck of your coconut. No respect, squeeze off to all y'all diminished. Shootouts for 20 minutes until we finish. Then it's to the loot, escape in the coupe, break bread with the kiss. Panero, chic, loose, Black Rob, join the mob. It ain't no replacing him, niggas step up. We just macing them, placing them in funerals. Criminals turn the vows to Brick City. Nobody come off like P. Diddy. Business-wise, I play men. Hide money on the island, Cayman. Y'all just betray men, we spray men. Opposition, competition of a day in the life of the commission.
We got the real live shit from